It was obvious from the start of this case that there was a ton of evidence that Donald Trump was involved with Michael Cohen and with Weisselberg in developing this scheme to get the story about Daniels, Stormy Daniels, and then to hide it from the public prior to the election. And of course, the fear was that the Access Hollywood tape had worked people up, and especially women, to such a degree that any further problem related to women would bury Trump. So they were determined they were going to stop it. Now, the way they were going about stopping it was paying Stormy Daniels $130,000. And of course, there are all kinds of questions as to how the payments were made and so forth. I'm no expert on how they developed the scheme completely. I have a pretty good idea, but who cares? The story was put in front of the jurors, and they know. They have details on top of details regarding how this plan to defraud the public was created by Donald Trump. And today, both sides, the prosecution and the defense, rested. So that's out of the way. The evidence has been put in front of the jury. And later this afternoon, what happened was they had a conference, very important conference, by the way. It's a conference in which the instructions are decided. And the way that happens is that both sides tell the judge what they think the instructions should be. And then, of course, the judge decides what he believes the instructions should be. And he, of course, has the final say in all of it. He can listen, he can make some evaluations, and then he makes his final decision, which I wasn't around today to hear that. If it's already been announced, I don't have it. But it's complicated. It's more than just a word or two. It's a lengthy instruction to the jury. But the point is this. So far, every inch of the way, this case has been destroying Donald Trump. Every inch. Now, of course, Michael Cohen has admitted to things that he would have rather not had said. For example, he talked about the money that he stole from Trump, thousands of dollars. I think it was maybe $60,000 that he stole from Trump. And other things he admitted to as well. So he admitted to everything, because in order for him to be allowed to testify in this trial, he absolutely had to promise that he would tell the 100% truth, which, of course, everybody has to tell anyway, or should, because otherwise there's something called perjury and you go to jail for that, which Michael Cohen already did go to jail for that. And that's why it's so important from his standpoint not to do it again, or he would be back behind bars. So you can bet that Michael had every reason to tell the truth. Now, the funny part is they went through this entire process, and then suddenly we got to what everybody calls the Perry Mason moment in this case. And at that point, it was believed by Donald Trump's team that they had gotten Michael Cohen to make admissions which would be so damaging to the prosecution's case that they would lose, and Michael Cohen would be a complete and total loser. So that was a day ago. And then they brought in yesterday Robert Costello. Robert Costello is the attorney, or an attorney, for Rudy Giuliani, another great American genius. And this guy, Costello, was supposed to explain in the courtroom how he was aware of a phone call that went from Michael Cohen to the Secret Service guy who then turned the call over to Trump, according to Cohen. According to Costello, that never happened. Well, one thing led to another, and the first thing that happened was the Costello ended up fighting with the judge. It's never good to fight with the judge, and especially when the judge tells you, cut it out. Don't do this anymore. And then you look at the judge and you say things like, geez, and you make a lot of sounds like you think the judge is crazy, and you go through this whole process. And the judge takes the jury out of the courtroom and says to Costello, if you say one more word against me, and if you stare me down again, I'm going to remove you from the court. I'm going to hold you in contempt. And we're going to strike your entire evidence out of the record. Actually, I think that Trump's lawyers may have wished for that evidence to be removed, because by the time everything was completed and by the time another cross-examination was done of Costello and then a redirect to Michael Cohen, it pretty much came across that Michael Cohen was telling the truth. So the Perry Mason moment turned out to be more of a Saturday Night Live Gilda Radner moment, where she would have said, never mind. So here we are. We're dealing with a case which has now worked out the instructions for the jury. And the interesting part of that is that everything else now is on hold. So the instructions to the jury will be presented, but not until after Labor Day. I'm sorry, Memorial Day. Not until after Memorial Day. Then the instructions will be presented. Presumably this would be next Tuesday. The jury gets a nice rest. Everybody gets to think about all of the problems that have been created by Donald Trump's brilliant defense. And the next thing you know, by Wednesday, you'll have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week for the jury to deliberate. And in fact, they have an unlimited amount of time, but it's up to them. They can find Donald Trump guilty fast, or they can find him guilty slowly, looking at all the evidence very carefully. I'm sure they're going to look at the evidence very carefully. I'm positive of that, as they should. But I'm also positive that this case is over. Bill Monroe says lock him up. Bill, you know what? They're going to lock him up. No, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. I think the judge will give him at least 2 years, which is fine. 1 year would be enough. But 2 years, okay. He can go to four. If he's found guilty on 34 counts, he could go 136 years, but obviously Donald isn't going to make it that long. But it's okay. 2 years would be plenty. Then they could give him an ankle bracelet and send him out to California to rake the leaves to try to reduce fires in the future. But honestly, Donald's in trouble. And you know, I'm sure of it. I've said this from before the case began, because there was just too much evidence. There was too much time for the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, to develop this evidence. And everybody has said that this is an extremely capable team of prosecutors. And so this extremely capable team of prosecutors has brought all of the evidence to the jury. They have properly inoculated their case from anything that Michael Cohen could say by letting everybody know that Michael Cohen has been a liar, a thief, a criminal, and a Donald Trump groupie. He's sorry. I believe him. I've watched Michael Cohen now for years, and I believe he's sorry. I'm sure he's sorry he went to jail, but I'm also sure that he's sorry that he even got involved with Donald Trump, which, by the way, is the greatest point of all of this. Everything that Donald Trump touches dies. Everything. And Michael says that he's shocked that Donald didn't testify. Of course, he's being facetious. And the truth is, he could never have testified, because the moment that he got on that stand, he would have been perjuring himself, and he'd have been on his way to jail anyway. Anyway. So I have to say that everything here, I believe, is working out perfectly, and we're on our way to a conviction and then a sentencing for Donald J. Trump. And by the way, this is a good day for Donald, because he got two things working for him today. One was all this evidence in the case, and number two was his stock price is plunging again. You'll recall I talked about the dead cat bounce in that stock when it fell from 80 to 22, bounced back to 48, and is now back down today $5 more dollars from the high, and it's somewhere around $43 and perhaps on its way to where it belongs, which would be zero. So good luck, Donald, spending your $6 billion that you had for a second, which is rapidly disappearing, as it should. And by the way, Bill Monroe mentions, and I'm happy to mention to you, that he is running for Board of Education in the city of St. Louis, and he has been on the board before. He's running again, and that's coming up very soon. And, you know, I've tried to get Bill on the air here, but he's become a little shy in his old age, and a couple of times he didn't get it done right. But anyway, he may come back, but in any event, I want to let people know that Bill Monroe is running for St. Louis Public Schools Board of Education. So, you know, wish you good luck on that, Bill, because they need good people on that board. The school system has got many problems. There are problems that could be fixed. Let me say, they could be fixed, but it's going to take more than what they've done so far, because so far it's been practically nothing. Okay, so that's about it, really, for Donald J. His stock is plunging. He's losing all his money, which he couldn't spend anyway, and he is headed for jail, and that's a very good thing. So let's talk about something else on the Donald Trump side, something that really, to me, I'm not saying it's worse than anything he's done in terms of the attempt to overthrow our government. I mean, you know, that's pretty bad, trying to overthrow an election, but that's one thing. And then, of course, trying to change the votes in Georgia, that's another good thing to get in trouble for. What he's done in Manhattan is probably not the worst of all, but it's certainly not as bad as stealing nuclear documents. And who knows who he wanted to sell those to, because he didn't have any money. So all of those things, you know, put them aside for a moment, because today we're going to deal with something else. And it may be the worst of all, and I'll tell you why. So this is, of course, the fact that Donald has informed us that if he gets elected, that he would present us with a unified Reich. A unified Reich. Well, gee, isn't that sweet? So what Donald Trump is doing now, I mean, I don't know why he doesn't just tell us in German. Just tell, speak German, pal. I mean, what are we doing here? Well, anyway, you know, there are people on the right who are being told this, number one, by a man who has told people, including his former chief of staff, that he admires Adolf Hitler. He read Adolf Hitler's speeches before he went to sleep, according to his first wife or maybe his second wife, whichever one it was. But he was reading Adolf Hitler's speeches before he went to sleep. And now, after telling us about poisoning the blood of America by bringing people to the United States who happen to be black, by bringing black people to America, we were poisoning the blood of America. And then, of course, there are people who tell us that black people are going to vote for Donald Trump. Don't count on it. The election isn't here yet. Not close. But see, the unified Reich, that's where we are. And Charles Bohannon throws up here for us the designation of Project 2025, which I've talked about at length before. And let me say that, you know, Project 2025 may in fact be what Donald is talking about when he says a unified Reich. But it really doesn't matter, because what we really have is a man who is promoting Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler. And you tell me, in all of the last 80 years, you tell me which president could have run for office and promoted Hitler and gotten the votes of the Republican Party. But that's where we are in 2024. Denying DEI, fighting against black history, fighting against black literature. And we're supposed to jump up and down with joy because this man says, I love the Jews. And let me say this to you, being Jewish. When people say, I love the Jews, we run. Trust me. Because that's not a good look. But it's especially not a good look when they start talking about how they love the Jews and they want to establish a unified Reich. You know, we've been to this movie before, and I think we'd like to avoid it this time. I think we're ready to move on from Nazi concentration camps. Now, you may say, come on, Kaysen, what are you talking about? But see, here's the thing. This is exactly what Adolf Hitler did. He talked about the things he was going to do, and everybody in Germany, including the Jews, looked around and said, come on, the man's not going to do that. And when he talked about the Jews, many of the German Jews said, yeah, but that doesn't mean us. And trust me, I've heard black people in this country who have been played the tapes of Donald Trump saying that black people are poisoning the blood of America. And those black people have sometimes said either he doesn't mean it or it's not us. Well, this unified Reich business, I think this may be enough on top of his conviction to end all of this. And if it's not enough, let me assure you, I heard this morning on Morning Joe, I heard Scaramucci. Now, I know a lot of people hear Scaramucci and they hate him because, you know, Trump threw him out after 8 days. But look, Scaramucci was with Trump for a long time, and Scaramucci says, and I believe him, I do, that first of all, that Trump has talked about turning the FBI into the Gestapo. I believe it. I mean, with everything else we've seen, do you really think it's that much of a stretch? Really? on top of a unified Reich. It's really a stretch. And all that stuff about the people on both sides were good people, even though on one side they were Nazis. And the Klan. Let's not leave them out of this. But look, Donald has put himself not only in a corner that really he deserves beyond anything that I could imagine for anybody running for office. I mean, I've opposed a lot of people in office, but never have I come across anybody as horrific as this man. Of course, I wasn't around during the time of Adolf Hitler, but I'm certainly aware enough to know what Hitler did. And so given the fact that I know what Hitler did, I mean, you would think that I would understand what's possible. And let's not forget that Donald is working for his boss or puppet master, however you want to describe him, Vladimir Putin. How do we know that? Because I've read the Mueller report, all 448 pages, and it identifies all 144 illegal meetings between the Trump people and the Russians. Now, you could say, that's not true. That's fake. Well, it's not fake. And how do I know it's not fake? Well, partly because the only thing that stopped it from really taking down Trump in the first place was the fact that Bill Barr lied about what was in the report in the first place. He made it up. I know he made it up. I read it. I read the report. In the report, Mueller said, I, in this report, cannot exonerate Donald Trump. Bill Barr turned around and wrote a summary that he gave to everybody across the country. And in the summary, it said, this report has exonerated Donald Trump. And so today, people say that the Mueller report actually exonerated Trump, when the truth is that Mueller said, I cannot exonerate Donald Trump. What are we dealing with here? I mean, what you have to go through to convince people of anything is just ridiculous, because what people believe is beyond crazy. And having said all of this, you really have to go back to where this started, first of all, yesterday, and then secondly, tonight on the show with me, and that is unified Reich. Who could ever use those words? Name me one person who could use those words and not be eviscerated in American politics. Name one person. The answer is there's nobody. I mean, if Joe Biden talked about setting up a unified Reich, how long do you think he'd last? Kamala Harris, how long do you think she'd last? She was out there speaking up against this today in the most forceful way possible, which is wonderful. I think she's doing a great job. I think she's bringing herself out of the shadows, and rightfully so, because we're getting to a point where certainly the Biden administration needs her support. And secondly, she might someday be president of the United States. And so we want her to have the experience of speaking to the American people. And she did a great job today. I know there are people on the right who will laugh and say it's ridiculous and she laughed funny or something. You know, they've all got something to say. But don't forget what they really want to say. What they really want to say is this. And look, you know, I love Vic and Lizzie, but they believe, number one, and we talked about this on the air yesterday, they believe, number one, that Donald Trump sniffs children. We already know from all the major newspapers in America that that film that everybody has witnessed was doctored. Never happened. And then there's this other nonsense about Joe Biden taking showers with his children. I mean, his daughter says it never happened. I mean, that's what she says. I mean, somebody could say Snopes says something else, but it, I don't care if it's Snopes or Chokes. I'm telling you right now, the daughter says it never happened. Beyond that, it's absolutely undisputed that the guy who was involved in faking this thing went to jail. He went to jail for faking it, according to Biden's daughter. Now, according to the people on the right, you know, he went to jail for shoplifting, or he stole an ice cream cone, or, you know, some nonsense. It, whatever it is, it's not true. He went to jail for the lies that he told and for what he did by stealing this diary and trying to put information in the diary that wasn't true. And listen, this isn't even beginning to touch the laptop. The laptop. Oh, my God. The laptop. What are we talking about? This country has gone bananas. Not Banana Republic. Bananas. We're nuts. The fact that we're even discussing this. It's a very simple point here. Donald Trump put on his, whatever they call Twitter, social, whatever. I mean, don't say Truth, because you know that's not true. So whatever it is, he put on there, unified Reich, that's what he's going to establish. Now, there's some debate as to whether he put it on or his assistant who puts all the things on did it. But they're the ones who do it. They put everything on there. This wasn't put on by somebody at Macy's. This wasn't somebody from Australia who hacked into his account. This was his guy, or it was him, one or the other. He put stuff on there night and day. And he puts Nazi stuff up there night and day. And that's another point here to consider. With all the Nazi things that he advances, suddenly we're going to believe that this one is the one that's not real? I mean, he's pushing doctrine from Adolf Hitler constantly. This is what he does. Everything's Hitler. This man is in love with Hitler. And you know what? In the United States, you're allowed to be in love with Hitler. But you can't be in the Oval Office if you're in love with Hitler. That's ridiculous. Okay. So let's leave it at that for a minute. And I'm sure that this conversation isn't over. And the reason I'm sure it's not over is because I'm well aware of exactly what happened with Hillary Clinton. When Hillary Clinton was accused of eating children, babies, in the basement of the pizza place. Of course, there was one problem. The guy that came to check the basement went berserk when he was told this place doesn't have a basement, because he was convinced by Donald that Hillary was eating these children in the basement. I mean, I hate to laugh, but how can you do anything but laugh? The Hillary Clinton was eating children in the basement of a pizza parlor where there was no basement. Okay. And Donald is insane when it comes to his love for Adolf Hitler and, of course, Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin, who he has done everything to support in Ukraine. Everything. He has tried his best. And here we are today, where Ukraine has just taken out a ship that had the remaining cruise missiles available to Russia. So that's a big deal. And then, of course, they're pushing back against the Russians, who are doing everything they can to take over as much land as possible in Ukraine before Ukraine becomes completely filled with all the weaponry that the United States has made available through our $60 billion advance to Ukraine. Very wisely set up by Joe Biden, and of course resisted by both the Republican Party and their leader, their fearless leader, numbskull, Donald Trump, who is a Nazi, who says that the United States in just 7-8 months could become a unified Reich. You got to be kidding. Did I have to spend a half an hour on this? Really? You couldn't figure this out? The guy that told you to drink bleach and inject stuff into your arm, you know, I don't know, Drano or whatever it was. I mean, and again, because people hear that and they say, well, you're making it up. No, no one's making it up. We have the tapes. We don't just have the tapes off of TV where I heard it and others heard it. We have the tapes from Bob Woodward, where Donald Trump admitted that he was lying to the American people totally about COVID, that he lied over and over. And of course, according to him, he was doing it because he was afraid we'd panic. A million people died. A million people died, and he was worried that we would panic. I would hope you'd panic. I would hope you'd do something, which, of course, Joe Biden did. And here we are in a lot better world than we were in 2020. And yet people say we're not. People say we're being crushed by inflation. Not true. In fact, I'll say this, and then I'm going to go sell some things, because contrary to some of the things that people say, this is not about communism. It is about capitalism. But let me say this. The United States produces more oil than anybody else in the world, more oil than we have ever produced in our lifetimes. And Joe Biden has run this country into one of the greatest positions it could possibly be in, including saving NATO. And I just want to say that if anything does go wrong economically, which won't be his fault, but they'll blame it on him, and that's if the stock market turns down, let me assure you of this. Any decline in the stock market will take oil, gasoline, from right now we're paying $3.50, it'll be down to $1.50. You think I don't know what I'm talking about? Watch and see. If this happens, if the economy turns down, if the markets turn down, oil will drop from $3.50 to less than $2 a barrel. That's it. Or $2 a gallon, I'm sorry. So that's the story. And inflation will be gone, and we'll be fighting deflation, and the Federal Reserve will, in fact, be lowering interest rates rapidly if we head in that direction anytime soon. So don't get yourself all crazy, because you wouldn't be happy to have gasoline down to $2 a gallon. You wouldn't. because the consequence of that would be lots of other problems, slow down in the oil industry. They'd be firing people. It would not be good. But everybody thinks they know something, especially when it comes to economics. And that's the only thing that I can say is not Donald Trump's fault. That's the fault of the United States of America not teaching economics in school. We ought to. We don't, but we should. Okay, speaking of economics, I want to talk to you about dinner. I've got for you a restaurant that is extraordinary. It really is. And it's Wendy's. And it's at 18,500. We're at 18,500. 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And that's in the valley. And I can tell you right now that the food is exceptional. They've got wings. They've got smoked meat. They've got hamburgers and cheeseburgers and great salads. And they've got everything you could imagine. Patty melts. But then they've got my favorite, which, of course, is the baby back ribs. That's outstanding. And they've got onion rings. I happen to always love onion rings. And, you know, everyone doesn't have them, but Wendy's does. And they're great. So go to Wendy's. They're at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And that's in the valley. And don't forget, very shortly, Wendy's will be in Defiance, Missouri as well. And, you know, I had Ray Hartman on the air last night. We spent an hour talking about his candidacy against Ann Wagner, which I think is going to be amazingly successful, especially if Donald Trump stays on the ballot, because Trump's going to wreck that entire Republican Party. He's going to destroy them. He's going to say things. He's only begun. So, yeah, that's the thing there. And what I'm going to say is that Ray, we walked out of here and he said, Kaysen, let's go and have some dinner as soon as you're available at Wendy's. And we're going to Wendy's. So that's already set up. We made that arrangement. So that's Wendy's on Chesterfield Airport Road. And next, I want to take you to a place where you can get great jewelry. And that's 4506 Hampton. And that's Jewels on Hampton. And aside from the fact that you can buy and sell coins and jewelry, you can get your watch repaired if you need your watch repaired. But aside from all of that, if you've got some jewels that you want to have designed for you into some kind of a piece that you can be proud of, they'll do the designing for you. They will do it. They're very creative. They'll come up with ideas for you. Or you could say, look, I know what I want. Can you do this for me? And they'll do that also. So Jewels on Hampton is a terrific place to deal with jewelry and coins. And I can tell you right now that Al and AJ, they are great. They are fun people. They're very nice. If you go there, ask for them right away. You won't have any trouble. That's who you're going to find there. And they will help you with all of your jewelry need. You'll love them. That's Jewels on Hampton. And finally, you know, last night I was sort of playing because I like to play with the outfits. And I wore my jeans and I wore a sport coat. And today I'm back with my suit and here it's a red tie tonight. Even I can tell that tie's red because, you know, I got a problem with my color vision, but it's all right. I could figure that out. This is red. Now I'm liable to walk out of here in a minute and walk up to Joe. And he may look at this thing and say, you know, Kaysen, that's not exactly red. It's reddish, but not exactly red. Well, okay. That's possible. But as far as I'm concerned, it's red. And the thing about it is, it's a beautiful tie, as are all my ties. And when Ray heard last night that I get these ties for $5 from the St. Louis Suit Company, he couldn't believe it. The St. Louis Suit Company is on the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton. Jay and Nick will help you there right away. The whole family is there. It's a great place to buy men's clothing. You can also go there for weddings because they're experts in weddings. In fact, they're famous for handling people's weddings. So that's St. Louis Suit Company. And again, I remind you, they have been there for 29 years. So that's no accident. They're there because they're great. So that's the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Go get a tie. Honestly, if you're walking around and thinking to yourself, what could I buy for a friend? Go get a tie. I don't think anybody would look at you and turn down a tie as a gift. They're nice. And the second thing is, you can do it for $5. So that's amazing. Okay, so before I get back into some additional things here tonight, let me mention that I did have an opportunity this afternoon, finally, and I'm really pleased. I spoke with some people who were involved in the demonstrations here in St. Louis, and they are probably going to be on the air within the next 1 to 3 days. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's an important conversation. I think that the protesters are absolutely not listened to. And I think that to jump to conclusions about who's anti-Semitic and all the rest of this, I think is very foolish. And, you know, I always make the point that, you know, being Jewish for a pretty long time, that I can tell you that the people who have been most problematic for Jews in America and around the world were absolutely white Christians, not black ones. In fact, the black Christians have been great friends of Jews, and they don't run up and down saying it. They just do it. They really have. The same reason that the Jews like black people, because there's a connection in terms of being discriminated against by lots of bad people out there, including the Reich. Can you imagine? I never in a million years thought, when I started talk radio 35 years ago, that I could ever get on the air and be talking about the United States supporting the idea of a unified or any kind of Reich. Never. It just never crossed my mind. I mean, I understood that there were trials after World War II where the Nazis were hung by that tribunal, Nuremberg. And of course, the Israelis went and picked up a bunch of them from South America and hung them. That's what we did to Nazis. We hung them. We didn't proclaim the beginning of a new Reich. This is beyond insane. I wonder how long I'll be talking about this. But I guess there's really no reason not to, because this has got to be the most amazing development since Donald Trump began all of this mess. And thankfully, the Biden administration is out here right now talking at this moment about Trump and his Reich dreams. Thankfully. So this isn't just a bunch of people on the radio and television around the country saying this. This is the Biden administration stepping up immediately, not hesitating for a minute and saying, no, we're not going for this one. We're not doing the Reich. Okay, we'll see how that works out. So let me talk to you about Iran. And when I say I'm talking to you about Iran, I'm not the expert, and I often have people in all different areas who are experts that can come and talk, and I'm not going to mention right now, but I do have a great expert to come and talk about Iran, and so I'm going to do that soon. But let me tell you this much. Iran lost some important leaders, and even the Iranians are not saying that the United States shot down that helicopter, and even the Iranians are not saying that the Israelis did it. They're admitting that it's probably some kind of a weather-related problem, and that unfortunately does happen. It's a bad thing, but it happens. And they lost a leader, certainly not somebody that we feel sorry about, because we're not happy with the Iranian leadership for sure. And by the way, the people of Iran are not so happy about that leadership either. They've been out demonstrating against these people for a long time. The Iranian government has done everything they could to repress those demonstrations because they're authoritarians, and that's what they do. They repress those kind of behaviors, and they arrest journalists, and it's not good. I wonder what we would do to journalists and demonstrators under the Unified Reich. Well, that's a separate issue. But at any rate, we know they're doing some bad things in Iran, and that's a problem. But you know, I've taught for years about the problems in the Middle East. And I want to emphasize this much. There's bad blood over there, but it's not just against the Israelis. And if you go back to 1915, 1920, the problems were not with Israelis. There were none. I mean, there was Zionism, but that wasn't the issue. The problem was among the Arab tribes themselves. They didn't like each other. They hated each other. They killed each other. It was not an easy time in the Middle East. And, you know, here we are today, 100 years plus later, and you can see the results of that hatred amongst really brothers that has existed for well over 100 years. And I was talking to a friend today, and one of the examples that I brought up to him was this situation with Egypt. Because you know that the United States helped to broker a deal 40 years ago with Egypt. Because Egypt had led battles against Israel over and over again. 48, 56, 67, 72, 80. All Egypt in the lead. Now, other countries were there, but Egypt was strong in the leadership against the Israelis. But we cut a deal. And here's the deal that we cut. Now, I talk about this all the time. It's so important to understand this, because this is exactly what the Trump people don't understand, and it's exactly what has kept the United States and the world away from a nuclear war for 75 years since dropping the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Because what we've done is we've paid Egypt. We paid them and we said, look, give you $1 billion plus a year, and all you have to do is stop leading wars against Israel. And the Egyptians sat down, took a look around at the landscape and said, you know what? We're through. Give us our money and we're done. No more fighting against Israel. So that was pretty effective, and the United States accomplished that pretty brilliantly, but we got it done. Now, here's the point. It was only a month ago, maybe, where Egypt said, if Israel or the United States does anything to cause Palestinians to cross the border from Rafah into Egypt, $1 billion or not, we're going to war. We're not doing this. Do not send those people here. And the reason I say that is because the entire Middle East has been guilty of this. They have absolutely not taken in the Palestinians when they could have. They have not stepped up for the Palestinians when they could have. And believe me, that does not absolve Israel from murdering tens of thousands of Palestinians as part of what they feel is their retribution for what happened on October 7th. And I understand wanting retribution. I get it. The United States wanted retribution after World War I. We call it the Versailles Treaty. We did not participate in the League of Nations. And we 100% demanded money from Germany that they could not afford. Nobody loved what Germany did. Germany murdered many people in countries all over the world, certainly millions from Russia. And it was horrific. But the thing about it is that we made it worse at the end of World War I because we took their money that they had left and we left them essentially destitute. Now, it got worse when the Depression came along. So you figure it out. If you're Germany and you've got a depression, and you've got the rest of the world taking everything you've got, including some of the land that you acquired that you felt was really yours. And the next thing you know, they turn to the craziest person that we can think of in modern history, and that's Adolf Hitler. So, sure, Hitler's to blame, and the United States is not to blame for Hitler. But we're to blame for creating horrible relationships with Germany and also making it rougher for Germany to survive during the Depression at a time when we could barely survive during the Depression. So we made a mistake. But we came back at the end of World War II and we fixed our mistake. We turned over billions of dollars first to Germany in the Marshall Plan, and we rebuilt Germany. We had just destroyed Germany, and we hated the Germans. And I wish I could show you a film that I've got called Hitler Lives. And if you ever have a chance to see it, please do. I don't think you can find it online, but you might. Hitler Lives is American propaganda against Germany. Propaganda means not always completely true, but certainly based on some things that had a ring of truth to it. And one of the things that they said was that when you shake the hand of a German, remember, you're shaking the hand that heiled Hitler. And so what I like to always say is that we put billions of dollars into the hands that heiled Hitler. And that was in 1947, 48, 49. And here we are, 75 years later. And guess what? Germany is one of our best friends in the world. And they're pretty scared, believe me. They're frightened that Donald Trump could become the president of the United States and leave Germany struggling to look for a new friend like Russia. I'm sure Vladimir Putin would love that. He's been trying to blackmail these people into buying their oil for years. And then, of course, China. China would love to do business with Germany and all of Europe. And if Europe thought that they had to separate from the United States because we abandoned NATO, which we would under Trump, he said it, believe him. Believe him. Believe that the unified Reich would include getting rid of NATO. Trust it. This man is saying things that he believes and things that he wants to do. Now, the problem with all of that is he's going to run into this trial, and I think that's going to be the end of the whole story. And I think he'll go berserk. I think that all those little silly men who show up at the trial wearing blue suits and red ties, I mean, you talk about pathetic. You talk about pathetic. Blue suits and red ties so they look like their dear leader. But now we can put a name to it. Unified Reich. I love it. He has done us quite a favor. But we can put a name to it. And these people, this is, I guess, Goebbels and all the rest of those nuts that were eventually hung. That's his people. They're following him the same way Hitler had his people following as well. So here we are. This is not hard to figure out. You know, Vladimir Putin rampaging through Ukraine, but not as effectively as Hitler, but certainly he's doing it. And the reason it's not as effective is because the United States in the process has said, we'll provide the weaponry to fight Vladimir Putin. But you know what would happen if Donald Trump were the head of the Unified Reich. It would not be good. It would be trouble for Europe. It would be trouble for Sweden and Finland. It would be trouble for Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia. It would not be pleasant. But in the meantime, we're not there yet. Because between us and the Unified Reich, almost said the Third Reich, don't want to get that mixed up. Between us and the Unified Reich is clearly Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg has done a magnificent job. If you turn on MSNBC tonight and listen to the tons of legal analysts, top Justice Department officials, prosecutors, they know what they're talking about. They'll tell you all about where this trial is. Don't watch Fox. They'll tell you about Robert Costello's heroics, but they don't want to tell you the truth. They just don't. Okay, listen, here's the deal. Four Wenties for the St. Louis Suit Company and four Jewels on Hampton. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.